The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
I have the privilege of welcoming and introducing Biza and Len to you all. Biza is a pastor in Brazil, and he's actually the president of the CNMA in Brazil. And I believe Jeremy Warden is the vice president of the CNMA in Brazil. Jeremy is preaching at our Malden congregation this morning. And the gentleman standing next to Biza is Len Warden. This is Jeremy's dad. Again, he has pastored Church Planted in Brazil for over 30 years, and he's going to be translating for Biza this morning. So I'm going to let Len tell you a little bit more about himself and about Biza and their ministry partnership in Brazil. And then Biza is going to preach for us. But before I hand the mic over, can y'all welcome them?
Good morning. Or as they would say in Brazil, bom dia. Oh, good to hear that. It's our pleasure to be here with you this morning. My wife and I have worked in Brazil for 33 years. We've been involved in five different church plants, and for the main part of our missionary career, the last 3 years we've been involved in planting new churches. And the goal of the Christian Missionary Alliance in Brazil up until 2020 is to double in size until the end of 2020. And we're about 24 churches, and we have about 20 churches that we're working with in planting up until now, and so we have about four more to go until the end of next year. So if you pray that God would allow us to do that, maybe even go past that, wouldn't that be great? And all for his kingdom, all to expand his kingdom. I admire Summit Church and what they've done here in the Greenville area, and the way that they're not concerned about building a huge mega church, but having churches in all the communities possible and reaching out to people and saying, listen, Jesus loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. And we want to help you in that journey of that relationship with him. And that's exactly what Biza and nine other pastors have done this last week, is they've sat under the teaching of Jason Malone and Kyle, and I've learned a little bit more of what it is to have churches in multi-locales and seeing what God can do through this multiplication of churches. And so my wife Diane and I count it a real privilege of being with you this morning, and would like to say God bless you. Keep on track. Keep on worshiping the name that is above every other name by planting more churches here in this area. Even though we're in the Bible Belt, there's still a lot of people that don't know anything about Jesus, and we're going to hear more about that this morning from Pastor Biza. So let me turn the word over to Biza. We've known for all that time. I think the second you were in Brazil, we got to know Biza for the first time, and now he is the leader of the church there in Brazil, and we have the pleasure of accompanying him. God bless you, Biza.
Ele vê se aprenderam, então, né? Bom dia.
He wanted to see whether you understood what it is to say hello in Portuguese.
Eu teria algumas reflexões muito importantes para fazer agora. Tenho algumas reflexões muito importantes para fazer agora.
I have some very important things that I want to pass on to you this morning.
E queria encorajar vocês com essas reflexões.
And along with that, I want to encourage you.
Mas antes eu não posso, quer dizer, antes de fazer isso, eu não posso deixar de agradecer a Deus pela vida de vocês.
But before I share these words with you, it would be horrible if I didn't stop and say thank you so much for being the church that is standing behind us, that is encouraging us. We really appreciate that.
Tanto por eu reconhecer o tanto que vocês têm ajudado para que outras pessoas conheçam Jesus.
As I've seen Summit Church being a church that tries to impact the communities that they're in, we know that you're doing a lot more than that.
Como também por causa disso nos receberem tão bem aqui em Greenville.
And these last days that we've been here in Greenville, you have received us and we felt very loved and very cared for.
E eu estou falando em nome dos outros irmãos que estão conosco aqui em Greenville.
And I'm speaking personally, but I'm also speaking about those 9 other men that were here for this time.
Muito, muito obrigado pela acolhida e pelo cuidado de vocês para conosco.
Thank you so much for receiving us and your care for us.
A maneira com que vocês veem e fazem a obra do Senhor Jesus nos tem ajudado bastante.
The way that you do things at Summit has helped us a whole lot in multiplying the churches in Brazil.
E poder, de algum modo, ver, enxergar e participar e aprender com vocês nos ajuda no Brasil.
And being able to come here and having your pastors come down to Brazil has helped us a whole lot on that journey of seeing the church expand.
Nos ajudam como igreja aliança brasileira, mas principalmente como igreja local, a igreja que eu pastorei.
And I have to say thank you not only for the help that you've been to all of the alliance in Brazil, but especially for the church that I pastor in Brasília.
Desde que eu estive aqui há 2 anos atrás,
Since I was here 2 years ago,
a minha vida foi mudada em alguns aspectos de liderar a igreja.
My life has really taken a turn to help me understand how to give leadership to the church.
E a nossa vinda novamente, a insistência que eu tive com alguns homens era para presenciar isso também.
And so, because of that, I brought some of the leaders from my church to participate in this so that they can have the same experience that I've had.
Porque eu entendo que quanto mais pessoas têm conhecimento de como deve trabalhar e como deve agir, mais a gente é eficaz.
And my understanding is that in that more of these leaders in my church have an experience the same that I have, more they will be integrated and know what the next steps are going to be.
Temos texto para que a gente reflita hoje, que é texto que eu entendo que ele é muito completo.
I have a passage that I want to share with you this morning, and I believe that it's a very complete passage that you will get a lot from.
Acredito que todos aqui já devem saber que toda a Bíblia aponta para Jesus.
I believe that all of you understand that all of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, points to Jesus Christ.
Todos os livros, todas as histórias bíblicas, elas querem apresentar Jesus de Nazaré.
All of the books of the Bible, all of the persons or the people in the Bible are pointing to Jesus Christ.
Mas essa passagem em particular, além de demonstrar quem é Jesus, o poder de Jesus, focar na pessoa de Jesus,
but this passage in particular, besides focusing on Jesus and what he did,
ela também mostra a resposta que nós devemos e podemos e devemos dar ao nosso conhecimento de Jesus.
It also says to us, how do you respond to Jesus?
Então, o texto se encontra no capítulo 2 de Marcos.
This passage is found in Mark chapter 2.
Os primeiros versículos dessa passagem que o Len vai ler.
And this is the passage that that the Lord has given me to share with you this morning, and it'll also very clearly point people to Jesus. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When he entered Capernaum, again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. He was speaking the message to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic, carried by 4 men. Since they were not able to bring him into Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above where he was. And when they had broken through, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. How can he forgive sins? Only God can do that." Right away, Jesus understood in his spirit that there was thinking like this within themselves and said to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or you say, get up, pick up your mat, and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told the paralytic, I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home. Immediately he got up, picked up his mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this.
A minha oração é que Deus abra nossa mente e nos dê clareza mental para entender o que Deus quer da nossa vida com esse texto.
My prayer is that God will reveal to each one of us here this morning what he wants to reveal to each one of us.
O texto começa dizendo que Jesus foi para casa, para sua própria casa, e as pessoas tomaram notícia de que Jesus estava lá.
This passage talk about Jesus going to his home, and people wanted to hear what he was talking about.
E aqui diz que foi muita gente a ponto de não ter lugar mais para ninguém chegar perto.
And you understand that there were so many people there that there was no room, not even in the doorways, for people to see Jesus.
Apesar de ter muita gente ali, alguns homens foram até Jesus tentando levar até Jesus um paralítico.
So with all of these people here, there were a group of men, a small group of men with a paralytic that wanted to get to Jesus.
E logo eles se depararam com um problema, porque as pessoas não permitiam que eles se aproximassem de Jesus para levar o paralítico.
And so as they got there, they had a problem. There was no way they were going to get in to see Jesus, so they had to come up with a solution.
Então logo eles entenderam, temos que fazer alguma coisa para levar esse homem até Jesus.
How are we going to do this? How are we going to get this man to see Jesus?
E aí, a gente vê aqui que eles usaram tanto de criatividade, mas de entendimento de quem era Jesus para poder fazer o que fosse possível para levar o paralítico até Jesus.
And it's interesting, it wasn't just their creativity of how they got this paralytic in front of Jesus, but there was a real sincere deep desire that they could in some way get this man to Jesus.
Vocês certamente já devem ter ouvido, lido essa passagem e sabem exatamente o que aconteceu, quebrar o telhado, abrir o telhado, botar o paralítico.
I'm sure you all have read this passage before, heard it preached before, how they opened the roof and they let the paralytic down in front of Jesus.
Muitos detalhes nessa passagem, mas uma das que começa, que chama muita atenção, é Jesus, ao invés de curar o homem, dá a ele perdão dos pecados.
And of course, once the man is in front of Jesus, there's a lot of conjecture on what happened there and so forth. But one of the things that's very polemic is him saying to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven."
O primeiro problema que era a multidão agora se torna um segundo problema que era o questionamento dos fariseus quanto ao poder de Jesus.
Now the first problem, as we have just talked about, is that there were so many people there, there is no way that they were going to be able to introduce the paralytic to Jesus. But there's a second group of people there that you also know about, and that is the Pharisees.
Enquanto aqueles homens que carregaram os paralíticos resolveram o problema de levar o paralítico até Jesus,
in that, these men had found a way to present this man to Jesus, there was still a problem.
Agora, o segundo problema, Jesus toma a frente e resolve diante de todo mundo ali.
So Jesus, to put it in a very colloquial way, took the bull by the horn and he knew what he needed to say.
As palavras de Jesus perdoando aquele homem e depois curando aquele homem.
Jesus was very clear, your sins are forgiven, but he also said, take up your bed and walk, you are cured.
E o final da passagem demonstra o ápice e demonstra o que é mais importante em todo o texto.
And so at the end of this passage we can see that it's probably the most important part in what the meaning of this whole passage is all about.
Aqui afirma que todos ficaram impressionados com Jesus, crendo obviamente em Jesus, deram glória a Deus por tudo aquilo.
It's very clear here. It says all of them started praising God and recognized the miracle that had happened before their very eyes. And they couldn't help but praise God for what he had done.
Então, essa história é muito bonita, muito interessante, mas eu gostaria de que a gente refletisse nas pessoas que estavam envolvidas naquela cena.
Of course, the story is very interesting, very, very intriguing as to what happened there, but I want you to understand that the groups of people that were present when that happened.
E olhando para as pessoas que estavam ali, elas, ao mesmo tempo, estavam representando a gente ali de algum modo.
And looking at that group of people there and the different figures, the four, the paralytic, and all of the scribes and all of those things, These are people that we need to take a little bit closer look at.
Eu acredito que devemos avaliar que tipo de gente nós somos com relação às pessoas que estavam ali ao redor de Jesus.
Looking at this passage, I think that we all need to look at this and say, what kind of a person am I?
Hoje, eu represento qual tipo de personagem ao redor de Jesus, próximo de Jesus, em comparação com aqueles homens que estavam ali.
Who am I in this group of people, the multitude, the four men, the paralytic, the scribes? Who am I in this group?
Então vamos listar quatro tipos de pessoas que se aproximam de Jesus.
So let's talk about these four different types of people.
O primeiro grupo, eu chamo de os curiosos.
This first group of people, the crowd, are the curious ones.
Aqueles que formam a multidão.
The ones that make up the multitude.
Se aproximam de Jesus, mas não sabem exatamente o que querem de Jesus.
They're coming because there's a lot of commotion, there's a lot of activity around the house, but they're really not sure what they're there for.
Na verdade, não conhecem bem Jesus, embora saiba que Jesus é uma grande pessoa.
They really don't understand who Jesus is, but they've heard that he's a great person.
O texto chama essas pessoas aqui de multidão.
And the text here says very clearly, this is the multitude of people that was gathered there and crowded the house.
Mas você pode perceber que a multidão era aquele grupo que atrapalhava aqueles que levaram Jesus, levaram o paralítico até Jesus.
But you'll notice that because there were so many, this multitude was so great and so overwhelming as far as the house was concerned, they were in a way impeding somebody that really needed Jesus to get to him.
A multidão está próxima, está perto, mas não tem noção, não tem sabedoria, só está perto.
The multitude is there, they're close, but they don't have any notion, they don't have any idea of why they're there.
Em todas as vezes que a Bíblia relata sobre multidão, todas as vezes fala de uma maneira pejorativa, de forma negativa.
Most of the time when the Bible talks about the multitude, the truth is that as you look at it a little bit closer, that multitude was really not there for any good reason.
Sempre interessada em algo que Jesus pode fazer, mas não ajudando no propósito de Jesus.
Always interested in something that they could gain from being there present, but not really there to help in any way.
E a gente sabe que, embora cristãos, embora conhecendo Jesus, a gente pode se tornar membro dessa multidão.
And all of us understand that if we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, we in some way, in many ways, can become part of that multitude.
Mas o texto também relata a respeito de outro tipo de personagem, outras pessoas que estavam ali ao redor de Jesus.
But this passage also talks about another type of person that was there in the presence of Jesus.
O segundo grupo eu chamo de os inimigos de Jesus.
The second group I call them the enemies of Jesus Christ.
Aqueles fariseus que ao invés de aproveitar a presença de Jesus estão perto para atrapalhar o que Jesus quer fazer.
And these Pharisees that are there present, actually right in the front row with Jesus, instead of being somebody that are encouraging, they're there to mess up what Jesus is trying to do.
Enquanto a multidão não sabe exatamente se está atrapalhando ou não, esses aqui querem atrapalhar, são intencionais em atrapalhar.
While the multitude of people really aren't sure what they're there for, this particular group of people are a group of people that are there to mess things up.
Eles querem que as outras pessoas ao redor delas que estão na multidão não creiam em Jesus.
Their intent is that the multitude in any way would have any trust or any faith in Jesus.
Aqui também nesse texto mostra terceiro grupo de pessoas.
This text also shows a third type of
aqueles people. Que são carregados, levados até Jesus.
Those that are carrying or are being carried.
São levados, são.
Okay, they are the paralítico.
Paralítico.
So this is the paralytic. This is the person that is being taken to Jesus.
Aquelas pessoas que alguém precisa pegar na mão delas e puxar para a responsabilidade cristã.
This is a clear example of somebody that needs to be taken, has to be encouraged, has to be brought to the presence of Jesus.
Alguém sempre tem que estar encorajando, falando, dizendo as mesmas coisas que ela até já sabe que tem que fazer.
Somebody who already has had some sort of experience with Jesus and knows what Jesus can do and is willing to keep on reminding this person, listen, Jesus can do something for you.
Leia mais a Bíblia, ore mais, gaste mais tempo com Deus, ajude as pessoas.
These are people that spend time in the Word, that pray, that know that God has a purpose for them to be able to take others to Him.
Às vezes tem uma necessidade que está todo mundo vendo, mas a pessoa não vê. Alguém tem que falar para ela, faça isso.
This is the situation with most of us. Most of the time that there are needy people around us, but it's only just a small group that say, hey, listen, we need to do something here. Let's do something.
Então, o paralítico representa essas pessoas que estão numa situação de sempre serem carregadas.
And so the paralytic is the type of person that always is going to need some sort of help, needs to be carried, needs extreme help, let's put it that way.
Mas existe um quarto grupo aqui, o quarto grupo que a gente percebe que alegrou o coração de Deus.
Here we have the fourth group of people that really please God's heart.
Aqueles que gastaram de si e do seu para cumprir com o objetivo de Jesus.
Those that put their interest aside and said, we need to help this person. I'll do everything that I can so this person can see Jesus.
O texto fala aqui de alguns homens que tiveram misericórdia do paralítico.
They had mercy for this person. They wanted to do something in a very tangible way for him.
Gastar o seu tempo, a sua saúde e a sua criatividade para apresentá-lo a Jesus.
They used their strength, they used their health, they used their creativity so that this paralytic could see Jesus.
E eles não viram apenas a barreira que a multidão impôs.
They weren't people that saw the barrier that this great multitude was causing so that the paralytic could not see Jesus.
Mas estavam muito mais focados em apresentar o paralítico a Jesus.
Instead of barriers, what they were looking for a way so that this person could come and know Jesus.
Olhando para essa cena aqui, eu percebo o quanto que nós muitas vezes não pertencemos a esse grupo.
And looking at these four, in many ways, a lot of us aren't anything like these four people.
É bem provável que ninguém aqui seja daqueles que são inimigos de Jesus. Talvez aqui não haja ninguém que seja inimigo.
I could probably say that in this group of people here this morning, I'm not going to find anybody that considers themselves or we could give a name as being an enemy of Jesus Christ.
Mas a normalidade dos cristãos no mundo,
but the person that is a normal Christian in the world today,
é de gostar de fazer parte da multidão.
The majority are happy just to be part of the multitude.
Ou daqueles que sempre são carregados, levados por outros.
Or there are people that constantly need somebody taking them and taking them by the hand and helping them along and thinking about their needs.
E eu acredito que isso acontece porque a gente não entendeu ainda quem realmente nós somos em Jesus.
And I believe that this happens in our Christian lives because a lot of us forget who Jesus really is.
Porque quando entendemos quem é Jesus e quem nós somos nele,
when we understand who Jesus is and who we are in Jesus Christ,
a gente não vai ser mais a mesma pessoa.
We will never be the same person again.
Aqueles homens entenderam o poder de Jesus, quem era Jesus, então os esforços deles era para cumprir com a agenda de Jesus.
These four men understand who Jesus was, what he could do, and they were set on doing everything that they could to take the paralytic to know Jesus.
Eles deixaram de preservar a sua saúde para poder gastar a sua saúde cumprindo com a agenda de Jesus.
Instead of worrying about their own health, worrying about the barriers, worrying about all of the things that were happening in front of them, they did everything that they could to take this person to Jesus.
Então, se entendemos realmente o evangelho,
If we really understand the gospel.
E o que é o evangelho?
And what is the gospel?
A Bíblia fala de que o evangelho é o poder de Deus para a salvação de todo aquele que crê.
The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation.
E a salvação ela está relacionada a dois pontos básicos.
And salvation is related to two basic points.
Salvação do inferno para a gente ir para o céu.
Being saved from going to hell and going to heaven.
Mas salvação também das dificuldades da nossa alma para paz espiritual e realização do nosso coração.
But also salvation to realize who we are in Jesus Christ and to be able to work out that salvation.
Deus nos faz uma promessa de céu eterno.
God has promised us heaven.
Mas ele fala de vida abundante enquanto estamos aqui.
But Jesus also talks about abundant life.
Então a nossa vida, por ter uma vida abundante que Jesus quer,
and so our life, if we really want that abundant life, and Jesus does want that for us.
Então as nossas escolhas elas devem ser diferentes daquelas que a gente tinha antes de ter o encontro com Jesus.
If that is the case, then the choices that we make have to be different from what we were before we knew Jesus.
O apóstolo Paulo fala a respeito de uma nova vida.
The apostle Paul talks about a new life in Jesus Christ.
Porque temos uma nova vida, as coisas velhas, antigas já passaram.
Paul makes it very clear, because we have a new life in Christ, the old things have passed away, all things have become new.
Ele fala que tudo se fez novo.
Everything has become new.
Ora, se fez novo, então, eu preciso ter uma vida com um novo sentido.
Well, if God has given me and has made everything new, then I have to have a life that has a new... Desculpa. Transformation.
Então, ter uma vida transformada, uma nova vida, diz respeito a novas escolhas.
So to have this transformed life really means that I have to make some new choices.
E o texto demonstra claramente de que aqueles homens eram diferentes das demais porque faziam escolhas nobres.
And we see very clearly that these four men were men that had made different choices from what they were before.
Eles tiveram uma vida ressignificada por Jesus.
It's hard to translate, folks. God wants to redefine our lives.
E nós também fomos ressignificados.
All of us have been redefined.
Mas muitas vezes a gente não vive a vida como pessoas ressignificadas.
But most of the time we're not living a life as being people that have been redefined.
Isso é tão importante, é extremamente importante.
This is so important, it's extremely important for us to understand.
Que você não pode sair daqui hoje sem ter entendido que você deve ter uma vida ressignificada.
It's so important that you can't leave here today without understanding completely what it has to be have a redefined life.
Eu não posso viver a vida como se eu fosse a velha pessoa sem Jesus.
I can't keep on living the life that I live, that same old person that does the same things every time without showing something that Jesus has done for me.
A razão pela qual existem muitos cristãos que nem parecem cristãos, nem têm satisfação no coração, é porque não entenderam isso.
And the reason why many Christians really don't show the evidences of being a follower of Jesus Christ, a real Christian, is because they haven't understood that.
Dizem que foram até Jesus.
They say that they've come to Jesus.
Mas não seguiram Jesus.
But they're not following him.
Porque Jesus fala assim, vinde a mim.
Jesus says, come to me.
Mas logo depois ele fala, vinde após mim.
Then after that, really soon after that, he says, come after me, follow me.
E o ir após Jesus, seguindo Jesus, é cumprir a agenda de Jesus.
And when we say we are followers of Jesus Christ, what we're really saying is that I am willing to fulfill the agenda that Jesus wants to give me.
Ele transformou a nossa vida para que a gente de fato o siga.
He transforms our life so that we will follow him.
E viva para cumprir a agenda dele.
And that we live with that purpose to complete, to do the agenda that Jesus is putting before us to complete.
Eu queria explicar isso terminando até com uma pequena ilustração.
I want to explain that just a little bit clearer, giving you a very short story.
Imagine que os seus avós tinham uma fazenda.
Imagine that all of you here have grandparents that have a farm.
E eles, o seu avô criava galinhas.
And your grandfather had chickens on that farm.
E um dia das 20 galinhas que ele tinha,
and one day of the 20 chickens that he had,
houve uma chuva, uma tempestade e um raio caiu no galinheiro.
There was a great thunderstorm and a lightning bolt hit the chicken house.
Todas as galinhas morreram exceto uma galinha.
All of the 20 chickens died except for one.
Ela ficou assim meio diferente com tudo, mas sobreviveu.
That chicken was really quite different after that experience.
E aí ele juntou mais outras galinhas.
And so, what does he do? He goes and buys more chickens.
Mas ele percebeu uma coisa diferente, porque aquela galinha, quando botava ovos, dos ovos que ela botava, alguns tinham uma listra amarela.
And this chicken was different, not because of the lightning bolt, but because every time that the chicken laid an egg, the egg had kind of a gold ring around it.
Mas aí ele percebeu que que os ovos eram iguais. Ele fazia omelete, fazia bolo e tudo com os ovos daquela galinha.
The eggs were the same, both from that chicken and from the other chickens. And he would make omelets and scrambled eggs and fried eggs, every way that you could imagine eggs, he would make them with those eggs.
Mas aí, um belo dia, ele decidiu que aqueles ovos virassem pintinhos. Deixou a galinha chocar.
Well, he decided one day, well, I've had enough eggs. I think I'm going to let the chickens lay eggs, set on them, because I want some chicks.
Da quantidade de ovos, tinham 10 ovos ao total, com 3 ovos com a listinha amarela.
Being that he wanted those chicks, he had 10 eggs, and of those 10 eggs, 3 of those eggs had this gold ring around it.
Todos os ovos viraram pintinhos, menos aqueles 3.
All of those 10 eggs became little chicks, except for those 3 with the gold ring around it.
Esses 3 ovos, na verdade, viraram ovos de ouro.
Those 3 eggs, instead of just having a ring around, they became golden eggs.
Agora você imagine como que o seu avô se relacionaria com aquela galinha.
You can imagine what your grandfather would do as far as his relationship with that egg, with that chicken that laid those eggs.
O que ele faria agora com aquela galinha?
What would he do with that chicken that laid those golden eggs?
E o que ele pensaria, inclusive, de tantos ovos que ele já tinha comido com a listra amarela?
And how could he even imagine that all of these eggs that he fried up with the rest of the eggs that he didn't let turn into golden eggs?
Parte dos ovos, das que obviamente a galinha chocava, ia virar ouro todas as vezes que ele deixava chocar.
If he had let those other eggs stay underneath the hen and not made them into omelets, they would have turned into golden eggs also.
É certo que o seu avô, ele ressignificaria, daria um novo sentido àquela galinha.
For sure, your grandfather would think twice about, maybe more than twice, but think many times about what he would do with those eggs and that particular hen.
É provável que ele tiraria aquela galinha do galinheiro.
It is being probable that he would take that chicken from that hen house
e traria para dentro de casa.
And he'd bring him into his home.
A galinha poder fazer o que quisesse.
The chicken could do whatever he wanted. She wanted, I'm sorry. Female, right?
Ele não teria cachorro em casa.
He wouldn't have a dog in the house.
Ele daria uma cama para aquela galinha.
He would make a bed for that chicken.
Eu estou falando isso porque ele, de fato, entendeu que aquela galinha era diferente.
He did that because he understood that that particular chicken was different.
Ela teria um valor bem diferente.
The value of that chicken is way different from the rest of the hens.
Eu quero dizer para vocês que, embora não sejamos galinhas,
I would like to say to you, although I'm not supposing that all of us are chickens here.
Porém, o propósito que Deus nos concedeu é semelhante a galinhas de ovos de ouro.
But you must understand that God's purposes for us is just like that chicken who laid the golden eggs.
Porque Deus, por sua infinita graça e sabedoria,
because God, by his infinite grace and knowledge,
nos chamou para cumprir com a agenda dele.
He has called each one of us to do, to complete the agenda that he is laying out for us to follow and do.
E a agenda de Jesus é demonstrada com a grande comissão.
And the agenda of Jesus Christ is that which we read in Matthew 28, the Great Commission.
Dar oportunidade a toda pessoa do planeta.
Give every person from all over the planet, the whole world,
de ver, ouvir e responder ao Evangelho.
It's exactly what your theme for the Summit Church is. To see, to hear, without going any place, who Jesus Christ is.
Então aqueles homens, eles entenderam que foram ressignificados por Jesus para cumprir a agenda de Jesus.
So we see in this passage of Mark chapter 2, those four men understood what it was to be redefined to be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Então cabe a você agora refletir que tipo de pessoa, que tipo de personagem você está na história da igreja.
Now it's time for you to think about who you are.
E nós temos a oportunidade de sairmos da multidão.
We have a chance to remove ourselves from the crowd that's there just because everybody's there.
De sair daquele grupo dos que sempre são carregados.
To even come out of that group that is always needing help to get from here to there, that always is calling for help.
Para fazer parte daqueles que cumprem com a agenda de Jesus.
To be part of that group, those four men that wanted to do what Jesus wanted them to do.
Porque Deus ressignificou a nossa vida.
Because God redefined our life.
Do mesmo modo que Pedro falou.
The same way that the Apostle Peter said.
De que Deus nos tem dado todas as coisas que necessitamos.
God has given us all the things that we need.
Para vida e para piedade.
For life and for holiness.
Em outras palavras,
in other words,
para sermos aqueles que vão cumprir com a agenda de Jesus.
In other words, to be those that are willing to complete what Jesus has given us as an agenda to complete.
Vamos orar.
Let's pray.
Senhor Deus, nós agradecemos ao Senhor por esse tempo.
Oh God, we thank you for this time together.
Pedimos a graça do Senhor para que a nossa mente e o nosso coração,
we ask that by your grace that our mind and that our heart
obedeçam ao Senhor.
Would obey what you are telling us to do.
Reconhecemos que fomos ressignificados por ti.
We have come to the conclusion that we have been redefined by you.
Para que a gente cumpra a grande comissão.
That we might complete the great commission that you've given each one of us.
O Senhor tem nos capacitado para isso.
You have given us all the capacities that we need to do that.
E a partir de hoje,
and so from this day,
não vamos impedir a obra que o Senhor quer fazer.
We are not going to be the stumbling block or the impediment of the work that you want to do.
Em nós,
in us,
e apesar de nós,
and even in spite of us,
para alcançar as pessoas que o Senhor quer que a gente alcance,
that we might be able to reach those that you want us to reach,
com o teu evangelho,
with your gospel, Jesus.
Obrigado, Senhor, porque o Senhor nos chamou.
Thank you, Lord, that you have called each one of us.
Estamos dizendo sim.
And we're just simply saying this morning, yes, Lord.
Para essa grande obra do Senhor.
For that great work that you have called each one of us to do.
Em nome de Jesus, amém.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.